Going back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah discussed the halacha, the well-known halacha, Ein poiden es ha-shvuyin, yeser al kidei demeyen, mipnei tikkun ha-oyla. So, just to appreciate the chiddush of this takanas chazal, the Rambam in Hilchis Matnas Aniyim, Perek Ches Halacha Yud, discusses the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyin. Just listen to Lishoyne Yazov, Shel HaRambam. Pidyon shvuyim koidem leparnosas aniyim ulechasois. If somebody's giving tzedakah and he has an opportunity to give tzedakah towards pidyon shvuyim, it has kedima over parnosas aniyim, over supporting aniyim. Ve'ein locha mitzvah rabba kimoi pidyon shvuyim, says the Rambam. There's no bigger mitzvah in the Torah than the mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. Why? Shehashavoy. Because when somebody is being held captive, hareyu b'chlal hare'evim v'tzmeyim, he's hungry, he's thirsty. He's not given proper clothing. And he's in a matzav of sakonis nefashis. And if someone, it looks away, he turns a blind eye. He says, I know there's someone right now who's being held in captivity. But zatnish mitmir, hareza oiver. How many times do you see the Rambam talk like this? Sounds like Chafetz Chaim in his Akdamah to Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, right? The whole regime of Aveir is that a person gets when he speaks Lashon Hara. So says the Rambam that if someone's Ma'ilim Ayin from Pidyon Shvuyim, he gets all these things, and then since Sveit in Mo, to make sure we heard it, the Ein Locha Mitzvah Rabbi Ke Pidyon Shvuyim. Says the Rambam, there's no mitzvah rabba like pidyon shvuyim. And the truth is, this comes up in Gemaras, where you find that pidyon shvuyim wasn't just treated like tzedakah. It wasn't even just treated like hatzolos nefashis. It's ein locha mitzvah rabba mi pidyon shvuyim. Just one maramakim. There's a Gemara Masechtas Bava Basra Daf Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says this lashon, pidyon shvuyim mitzvah rabba. If pidyon shvuyim is a mitzvah rabba, the Gemara says in Megillat Daf Chav Zayin Amud Alf, ein moichrin sefer Torah, elo lul moich Torah v'lisa isha. That you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah, right? Today's daf we talked about buying sefer Torah. You're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah with the exception of two things: lul moich Torah v'lisa isha. Freit Taisves v'loich tani pidyon shvuyim. Why did it say pidyon shvuyim? Shema says Taisves. You want to know why I didn't say pinyin shvuyim? It was so obvious. It's so pashit. Anyone that knows anything about pinyin shvuyim knows you do everything for pinyin shvuyim. It was so pashit. It didn't even have to be said. But al kapanim, this is the Rambam. The pinyin shvuyim is literally ein locha mitzvah rabba k'may pinyin shvuyim. And shaloi kedarka, the Rambam lists a whole regime of lavin and essen that a person violates if he violates the mitzvah pinyin shvuyim. With that backdrop, think about the takana of the Mishnah, ein poiden es ha-shvuyim yesem mikdei demeyem. It's an unbelievable chiddush. There's an opportunity to do pidyon shvuyim. Ein locha mitzvah rabba, but at the same time, not yesem mikdei demeyem. And the reason is not mi'ikar adin. Based on all the rules and regulations of how a yid's supposed to approach a mitzvah, of course that's not the way we would approach it. But it was mipnei tikkun ha'olam. And it's interesting that the Bnei Yeshiva, the Amayroim in Bavel, when they were sitting and harving on what the Tanoim instituted, they didn't know pshat and the takana. They didn't know. They didn't have a clear messiah on it. And they had two tzedakim. Ibay lehu. Was the tikkun ha'olam duchka de tzibura? They were pasha concerned that the olam would be impoverished because it might just cost too much money. Or maybe that wasn't the nekuda. The nekuda was they were afraid that this would become a recurring thing. And if this is something that would repeat itself again and again, maybe that's what the concern was. L'may nafkamina, what would be if there's a relative who has money and he's willing to pay? If it's duchet, we don't have to worry about it. If it's more related to a chashash that we're feeding the monster, so in that instance, this is something we would have to worry about. And the Gemara did not resolve this ibaya. It's an ibaya deloy of shita. Tosfos here on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph, and the same Tosfos is the Kamon on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, asks a kasha from the Gemara that we're going to learn in the not too distant future. It's one of the Gemaras that talk about Churban Beis Hamikdash, sugyos of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and the Gemara tells the following story: Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. There was a story with the great Rabbi Yeshua, Shehalach LeKrach Gadol Shebiraimi. He went to visit a Krach Gadol Shebiraimi. Right? One of the big cities in Rome. Amrulai, they told him, Tinoik echad yesh bebeis ha'asurim. There's a Tinoik that right now is being held captive in the beis ha'asurim. Yifei enayim, v'toiv roi, ukfutsois of sturis loitaltalim. Reminiscent of the Nazir of Shimon HaTzadik. Very, very handsome. Halach v'amad al Pesach beis ha'asurim. So the great Rabbi Yeshua goes to the Pesach of the beis ha'asurim, Omar, and he said over the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Yeshaya Anovi said, Minosan l'meshisa Yaakov, v'yisrol levoizazin. Ono is a Tinoik. So the Tinoik heard what he said, v'amar, and he quoted the end of the Pasuk. Haloi Hashem chatonu loy, v'loi avu b'drachav, haloich, v'loi shamu b'tayrasai. Says the Gemara, Omar, Rabbi Shuvah Hanan, you heard the response that this child had to what he said. He quoted the beginning of Yeshaya Mem Beis Chav Dalet, and the child was able to quote the second half of the Pasuk, all in the context of what was going on at the time. Omar, he said, Muftachani Boisha Meirei Rabbi Yisrael. He says, Poshet, it's Avtocha that this child is going to be a Meirei Rabbi Yisrael. Ha'avoyed, and then he swore, She'eni Zaz Mikan, I'm not leaving this place, Ad Sheftenu B'chol Mamoy, until I'm Boyden, and it doesn't matter how much money. Omru, they say, Lo Yzaz Misham Achapadu B'mom and Harve. He came up with the money, and didn't take a long time until this child became a Meirei Rabbi Yisrael. Umanoi, who was his child? Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. He waxed to be the great Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Feita Isakasha. It's a beautiful, heartwarming story. Of it's Kineged Chazal. How is Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya able to be poided this child? B'chol mamin shepoisken olam l'chayre ein poided es hashfuyim yesal k'day demeim. Azoy Feita Isakasha. And Tosfos here, Amem Hei Amid Aleph, says two terutzim to this kasha. One terutz Tosfos says is that it could be it was B'shas Churban Abayis, and because of it being a Shas Churban, so the world was different then, and therefore you didn't have to be worried. We're not going to talk about that Teretz Tosfos right now. The other Teretz Tosfos says is that could be that was different. Lefi shehayu muflig b'chachma. Because this child was a prodigy. He was a muflig b'chachma. And because this child was a muflig b'chachma, so it's for that reason, in this instance, he felt that it was going to be different. So we have a very, very important chiddush from the Bali Tosfos. That the Bali Tosfos said that even though the Mishnah says, ein poiden es ha'shvuyim, yesa mikidei demeyim, but for a muflig b'chachma, like a young Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, over there it's different. That's an exception to the rule. In that instance, this tikkun na'olam was not something that was going to apply. This halacha of ein poiden es ha'shvuyim yesa mikidei demeyim was brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Staka, that's where the sugya pidyon shvuyim is, and it's in Yoredeya, it's simin reish nun beis siv dalet. Mechaber says as follows, ein poiden ha'shvuyim yesa mikidei demeyim. You can't be poiden shvuyim for more than they're worth. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam, because of tikkun ha'olam, says the mechaber. What's the tikkun ha'olam? Shlo yiyu ha'oyvim meisrim atzman aleihem l'shvoisam. Because we're afraid that if you're going to redeem this shavui, the shvuya, yes, in the kedei demeim, you're just going to incentivize the captors to do this again and again. And it's for that reason, this is something that you're not allowed to do. Avol adam yochel liftos es atzmoi b'chol mashiyetza. If a person has his own money, then he's allowed to use all the money in the world. V'chein, says the mechaber, l'talmud chacham. The same is true for a talmud chacham. Oy afilu einoy talmud chacham. Or even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, Elisha who Talmud Charif, but he's a Talmud Charif, the Efsha Sheyia Adam Gadol. And it could be he's going to become an Adam Gadol, Poyde Noise B'dam Merubim. In that instance, you could be Poyde him B'dam Merubim. The Mechaber picked sides in the Ibai of the Gemara. The Gemara had an Ibai Dol Yifshita. What's the real reason for the Takana of Ein Poyde Nesashun Yasa Mikdei Demeim? And the Mechaber said, it's Shalayu ha'oivim meisrin atzma alei English voisa. What the Gemara referred to as the loy legarvu, right? We're afraid that this is going to incentivize the v'lai sute. In fact, the Mechaber doesn't make the exception to the rule and say that if there's a relative that has a lot of money, this relative's allowed to go and be poi de yesem k'dei de man. The only thing the Mechaber did say was, is that if the person himself has enough money, he could be poi himself. But a relative can't. Why? Because that was the nafkemina that Rashi spoke out in the Tut Stodim in the Ibaya. And to the extent that the Mechaber is being machriya in this Ibaya, lo yivshito, and he's naming on the tzad, lo yivshito, lo yivshito, so therefore, lo shitose, the Mechaber doesn't say that a kariv could pay. You yourself, that's a bazundar ma'isa. But a kariv, that's not something you could do. Additionally, the Mechaber paskins toistvis. The Mechaber says, v'chein le talmud chacham, even that is going to be enough. So the bottom line is, What's the reason for it? It's based on a chashash that we're afraid that if you're going to do it once, it's just going to lead to it happening over and over and over again. There's one exception to the rule, and the one exception to the rule is a Talmud Chacham. And that brings us to today's raid. And really, today's story, which is a very, very well-known story, it's the story of the Meram Rotenberg. So just a little bit of context and a little bit of background. So the Meram Rotenberg, also known as Rameh ben Baruch, was one of the great Rishonim. He lived during the 13th century. He was born in Germany. He learned in France for a certain period of time, and then he spent the end of his life in Germany again. The Meram Rotenberg was one of the Bali Toisfas. In fact, the Chidah in Hashem HaGdolim says that Toisfas HaMasechtes Yuma was written by the Meram Rotenberg. So the Meram Rotenberg is one of the Bali Toisfas. But in addition to being one of the Bali Toisfas, he was also a Rebbe who had famous Talmidim, the Rosh, the Mordechai, the Agoyis Maimonis. These were all Talmidim of the Meram Rotenberg. But where his real esteem was held was in that he was the biggest Meshev of his generation. So Shailas that were being sent to a Gadol, he was the Supreme Court. It's actually interesting because the Meram Rotenberg lived at the same time as the Rajba lived. So, right, if you're familiar with Tshuvas HaRajba, there's many, many Chalokim in Tshuvas HaRajba. There's over 1,000 Tshuvas in Tshuvas HaRajba. And it tells you everything you need to know about the Rajba, meaning what he was held in terms of international prominence. Right, if you want to know where a Gadol stood, Be'enei HaOilam, look at their Tshuvas. That's always the best indication because the Rajba is getting Shailas from everywhere. The Rajba lived in Spain, and in the Sfaradish world, he was the Meshev. At that same exact time, the Meram Rotenberg in Germany, in France, and in all the Medinas Ashkenaz was doing the same thing. There are close to 1,500 Tshuvas in Shailos Tshuvas Meram, because the Meram was a Meshev. So when you think of the Meram in Rotenberg, so think of the Noi Debi Yehuda, the Chassam Sofer, and Moshe Feinstein, writing volumes and volumes of Tshuvas and all the complicated Shailos. That's who the Meram in Rotenberg was. So he lived in a Dardeya, but where he distinguished himself very, very much was in this Nakuda. And really, that's the background to understanding what happens next. Because in the world of the Umayyad HaOlam, the Meram in Rotenberg was without question the Gadol Adar. Because everyone knew that his address is where all the Shver Shailas were coming. And everyone in the world knows the Meram, you have a Shaila like this, you don't know what to do. A Bezdin is fighting, there's a dispute, you send the Shaila to Meram in Rotenberg. Either way, King Rudolf, Yemach Shemoy V'Zichroi, who was a German king during the 13th century, he decided that he wanted to take the Meram Rotenberg into captivity. Now, this was a time where Ish, Kala Yoshe Bein of Yarsa, and he was able to do whatever he wanted to do. It was the Wild West. And he decided that he's going to take the Meram Rotenberg into captivity. Why is not 100% clear. But that's something that he did. Now, the Meram Rotenberg got wind of the fact that they wanted him, and he decided that he was going to run away. It's interesting, the historians believe that the Meram Rotenberg wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. That he tried going to Eretz Yisrael. He made it into France, and somebody recognized him. He was the Gadol Adar. And he was taken, brought to King Rudolf, and they incarcerated him. They put him away. He was held in a big fortress, and he was being held there. Now, when the Yidden heard that the Meram Rotenberg was taken into captivity, so they decided that they're going to try to negotiate a ransom. Maybe they can come up with the money, and let's see what it's going to cost. And they sat down, and there were negotiations, and there was a number that was floated. The Rosh, who was a Talmud Mubik of the Meram Rotenberg, he took upon himself the Achrayas to raise the money, and it was a Meshunadiga Schum Geld, and he had it. He had all the money, and the money was presented to King Rudolf. We give you the money, you release the Meram Rotenberg. The Meram Rotenberg was told that he's going to be released, and he said, I refuse to leave. I'm not going. I'm not going to walk out. He says, I'm not going to leave. He said, it's not something that I'm willing to do, and the Meram Rotenberg stayed. He stayed. He lived in this fortress for the last 7 years of his life. He passed away when he was there. He never made it out. Now, it's actually interesting because the Meram Rotenberg was being held like a political prisoner. So he didn't commit a crime. He was partially being held because of who he was. He was a Jew, which was never a good thing to be. And he simply was the Gadol Adar, the highest ranking Jew. But because he was a political prisoner, sometimes that treated a little bit differently. And he had certain rights. And one of the rights that he had was this, his Talmidim were allowed to come in and learn with him. And if you look in the Mardchai in different places, and even Yosef, the Agoyes Maimini, the Tashbitz HaKotan, there's a sefer called Tashbitz HaKotan, which is also a Talmud Rami Rotenberg, they had access to Rami Rotenberg, and during certain kufas, they would come in, and they would talk to them in learning, and a lot of tshuvas came, literally, while the Rami Rotenberg was sitting in Tfisa. But the bottom line is, he refused to be released, and he ended up spending the last 7 years of his life in this Beis HaSoyer. After the Rami Rotenberg was nifter, his body wasn't released. And the Yidden had no way of getting it out. And 14 years after his Patira, literally 14 years later, there was a Yid, V'zocher la'toiv, he was known as Ziskin Vimpin, Alexander Ben Solomon Vimpin. He was a very, very wealthy person, and he gave away a tremendous, tremendous amount of money, and they finally agreed to release the body of the Rami Rotenberg that had been sitting there for 14 years. And when they released it, they made a kfura and a levaya, and he told the Yidden that he had one condition. His condition was is that I want to be buried next to Rami Rotenberg. And the truth is that if you go to Worms today, also known as Worms, but if you go to Worms, that we have Adayim Azeh, the caver of the Rami Rotenberg, and right next to the caver of Rami Rotenberg is the caver of Alexander ben Shloime Vimpin, this person, they're literally right next to each other, who released him. And I'll tell you something interesting, we don't have a lot of kfarim today from the Rishonim. There's very, very few. In fact, I asked a big scholar if he's aware of any other caver of any one of the other Balei Tosfos. And he said, off the top of his head, no. So it could be this is the only caver that we have of the Rami Rotenberg. It's fascinating. Rami Rotenberg didn't have a Levaya. He didn't have a Kfur until 14 years later. But it's just amazing how you don't know how things are going to develop until years later. But to go to a caver of a Rishon is very, very rare. Befrat, one of the Balei Tosfos, one of the Gedolei Hador of the 13th century. But we have the caver of the Rami Rotenberg, and he's buried right next to this Yid, Reb Ziskin Vimpin. But either way, this is a well-known story. This is the story of the Rami Rotenberg. It's interesting that this story of the Rami Rotenberg is quoted by the Marshal, the Yamshel Shloime, right here in our Gemara. And the Yamshel Shloime asks a kasha. He asks a bomb kasha on the Rami Rotenberg, and we're going to end with this. And Yetzir Hashem, this is going to be a part two. Shoin Emo. But we're going to end part one with this. He says, Shamati ala Rami Rotenberg zal, Shayatofus b'migdal kamashonim. V'asar tovim and akihiloi sach gadol. And the sar wanted a lot of money. V'akihiloi sayuroitzim liftoisa. And the Ktilas were willing to release him. V'loihi niach. But the Rami Rotenberg himself didn't allow it. Ki yomar. Because he said the Yamshel Shloime, this is what I heard, Ein Poiden Ashvuyim, Yoisa Mikdei Demeyeh. He said it's a Mishnah, Git Memheyam and Aleph, you're not allowed to be Poiden Ashvuyim, Yoisa Mikdei Demeyeh. Said the Yamshel Shloime, V'tome Ani, but it's such a Chiddush to me, because Me'achash Oye Talmud Chacham Muflig, being that he was a Talmud Chacham Muflig, V'loi Hoye Kemoisoi B'doiroi B'toiroi B'chsidos, Haskalah from the Marshal, there was no one as big as him in his generation in Torah and Chassidus. V'shari l'ftoisa b'chol mamim shabayilam. So for sure it was mutter to be paid b'chol mamim shabayilam. That was the story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Said the Marshal, v'im me'roiv an v'sunusoy le'rotza l'hachzik atzmi k'tamal chacham muflik. Maybe he was such an honor of the Maram. And he held als anivus, he's not a tamal chacham muflik. Mikol makay. Hayolai lachosh ha'pitul Torah. He should have been concerned about the Bittul Torah. Kasha kosa ba'atzmoy. Like he himself wrote. Shua yu yoyshe b'choshech b'tzalmavis. He wrote on himself that he was sitting b'choshech b'tzalmavis. B'loy Torah v'oira. He was sitting without Torah and oira. Fayu m'koyne. And he literally was writing kinnis. Incidentally, the Rami Rotenberg wrote a kinna. Right? The Rami Rotenberg wrote the kinna of Shali Srufa Ba'esh. When did he write the kinnah? When he was in France. He was learning by Rabbi Chilmi Paris. And after the famous debate between Rabbi Chilmi Paris and the Koymer, so they decided that they're going to burn the Shas. And when he witnessed the burning of the Shas, he wrote the kinnah. But Bahoya Mikoyne, Shalahoya Yetzloy Sifrei Apoiskin Vatoisfis, that he didn't have Sifrei Apoiskin Vatoisfis, Ve'echloy Hayochosh Lavoin Bittel Torah, Me'achashe Rabban Tzricheloy. Meaning the Marshal says, I understand that novel. But even an Anav has to understand sometimes when he's needed. When Klal Yisrael needs him, he has to understand what's happening. So it's a pella by him. Ubevadai. So it says, the Marshal, it has to be. that if they were going to redeem him, he was afraid, it has to be, that if they were going to be paid to him, that this is something that was going to repeat itself. Because there was so much money being offered for him. And it would get to the point that there wouldn't be enough money in the whole Jewish nation to be able to redeem all the G'dayli Yisrael. And Torah would be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. It says to Marshal, "Ki gam kein shamati." I heard. That soyer, Yemachshemay the Zichra, King Rudolf. What he wanted was Litvay's gam harosh talmidai. That he wanted to take the rush. The noydaloi, and the rush heard about it. Ubarach the tulitila. The nitzal berach l'roiv chasada. He ended up being saved. But I heard rumors already that they wanted to go after the rush. Umishum hachi amar achasid. And this is why the chasid said, "Mutav shetei ove maat chachma hayeserim Yisrael." It's better let a little bit of Torah be lost. We'll lose the Maram Rutenberg. First is losing the entire Torah. And then the Amshel Shlomo says, and this is the punchline, "Vezeha ois." And I'll prove to you that my theory is right. Because after they took the Maram Rutenberg, they never took another yid. And the Maram Rutenberg Taka lived 7 years in Tfisa, and his body was there for 14 years. And he writes that he was Yoshev the Choshev et Salmavis, but at the same time, says the Marshal, it never happened again. And how is it possible it never happened again? This sounds like this was a systematic mission that King Rudolf was embarking upon. You know why it didn't happen? Because he saw it didn't work. And he says, it's pasha to me. Had the Yidden come up with the money, they would have done it again and again and again. Umi idea if Torah could have survived this gzera. So he understood that this was a gzera that had the potential to create the shtakach Torah Yisrael. And he said, "Mutav, it's better that I give myself up." This was a suicide mission of the Maram Rutenberg. It wasn't Oiskalten Alpi Halacha. Alpi Halacha, he had every single right to redeem himself. But just like Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian learned Torah Barabim, and remember Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma told him, he says, "I hear you doing such silly things," and he did it anyways. And we know that Rabbi Akiva taught Torah Barabim, even though it meant it was going to, literally he was going to have to sacrifice his life. But the Rishonim already said, because it was a Rasha, that sometimes Sadiqim were able to see things. But Rasha, and they can give up their life, they can give up their Torah, their Gashmias, and their Ruchnias, 100% the ultimate Mesiris Nefesh. Achsam Soifa, Ptuche Choysam, the Mesiris Nefesh, where he gave everything up. Why? Because he understood it's not about him, it's about Klal Yisrael. So the Maram Rutenberg gives everything up to save Klal Yisrael. And the Yamshel Shlomo says, That's what I think. V'zeha oi, says the Yamshel Shlomo. The Raya is because it never happened again. And that's Posh it to me, it's clear that in the schus of the Rama Rutenberg and the chachma of the Rama Rutenberg, that's what prevented this from repeating itself. And again, Be'ez Hashem, we're just getting started. That's Hashem, there's going to be a part 2.